today as we come to the table.
God loves the unrighteous. God loves the sinner. The only difference between the unrighteous and a sinner is a prayer. That's the only difference between those of us in here that know the Lord and those that don't, is some of us have said, God, forgive me, and we've repented. God says, I love them. And Abraham is like, Lord, I know they're doing all this. I know it's wicked. I know it's ugly. I know they're proud about it. I know it stinks literally to heaven, high heaven, because it came before your throne. Lord, if there be any righteous there, would you spare them, Lord? Yes, Abraham, I will. And so note this. Number one, we need to have a heart that will intercede for those that are trapped in Sodom today.
What a powerful statement by Pastor Mark. In our daily lives, we as humans do fall into the trap of sin. The enemy is constantly on the lookout for ways to bring us down. Even as Christians, we make mistakes and sin takes hold of us. However, as a result of the Holy Spirit's conviction, we tend to return to God and seek forgiveness of our sins. But what about those who are unaware of the gospel's good news? How can we help them? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Pastor Mark explains in today's message how we can pray and intercede for people in your life who are unaware of Jesus and ask God to forgive their sins. How can you save others from the trap of sin? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 18 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
You know, it's interesting, when you live in a society that has a lot of money, you don't have to work as much. There's a lot more time for extra events. Now, there's nothing wrong in having a break. There's nothing wrong in vacations. There's nothing. God has created us in such a way that we need rest. That's why he said at least once a day a week, he said, stop and do nothing. That's the whole principle behind the Sabbath, is take a break, rest. And so I understand that we need that, and I understand that. But oftentimes in societies where there are great riches and great abundance, there will also become an abundance of idleness. And it's often been said that idle time in the hands of Satan is his playground. And there's a reason for that. Because again, when you give our flesh time, with more time off, more days off, we have more time to get in trouble. You know, one of the things I learned right off the bat, because our flesh gravitates toward it, does it not? So it behooves us to be wise and to be diligent with our time. You know, when I worked with youth years ago, one of the things I learned the hard way is that if you're going to have an overnighter with the youth, you better have every segment by minute worked out. You better know what's happening from 9 to 9:15. Then you better know what's happening from 9:15 to 9:30. Then you better know what's happening from 9:30 to 9:45. Because if you don't, a kid's head is going to end up in a toilet or something. Because the flesh left on its own, and some of these things I know of in the past. That's why I bring these things up. Listen, the flesh with idle time looks for things to do oftentimes that it shouldn't. And that, again, was one of their problems, idleness of time, and they got into more trouble. Lastly, notice they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Although they were very wealthy individually, they didn't care very much about the poor around them. Now, guys, notice this. This is very sobering. The pride, the fullness of food, the abundance of idleness, not strengthening the hand of the poor and the needy. Do you see any parallels in our society today? Now you shouldn't be surprised when you read that Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Now, does that mean that we're on the verge of judgment? You know, I believe there's hope for America. I haven't given up on America. I see America on the same path as Sodom and Gomorrah, and it greatly concerns me as someone who lives here. But you know what? God loves America. And God loved Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't judge Sodom and Gomorrah because he took delight in destroying them. God had to judge them because they refused to repent. And if God sends revival in America and we begin to repent, God can restore America and do a great work in this country. And I think that's what we need to be praying for. You know, it's interesting. We obviously are guilty of the same sins that Sodom and Gomorrah were guilty of, but the encouraging part in all of this is that we've not been judged yet. And why is that? I believe there's a couple of reasons. Notice God didn't judge Sodom and Gomorrah until he pulled the righteous out. And so there were still some righteous there. Whenever there are righteous in a nation, God has mercy on a nation. Now, that does run out. But God has mercy. It's interesting, when we get to the end of this, remember, he said, if there's even 10, Lord, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there's even 10? The Lord said, if there's 10, I'll spare them. Wow. Never underestimate the power of just a few righteous. In any city, if there are just a few that will stand up for what's right and be righteous, God says, I will have mercy. I believe part of the mercy God has had on America, although we are following and have followed the same pattern of Sodom and Gomorrah, is because there are righteous in America. And so God is, for the righteous sake, is holding off judgment. What's another reason? Well, because America is still standing with the nation of Israel. God said, those who bless Israel, I will bless, and those who curse Israel, I will curse. We are one of the few nations that is a blessing to the nation of Israel. And I believe because of that, we have stayed the judgment of God to a certain degree. But again, the thing that we need to be warned of and that we should have a broken heart for our own people, our own nation, is to say, Lord, you can't hold your judgment off forever. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, my heart trembles when I realize that God is a just God and his judgment cannot be held off forever. See, our founding fathers understood that a nation that does not walk in righteousness must one day be dealt with. What we need to understand is that God is also a God that gives every opportunity, and that's all the more reason we need to be speaking out very clearly and praying for our nation. Again, God now says, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's too late for them. They've gone too far. And he says, the outcry is great. I'm going to go down and see what's going on. Notice verse 22, then the men turned away from there and they went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood with the Lord. And Abram came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now again, Abraham asking is, God, would this be fair for you to destroy the wicked with the righteous? And again, the Lord's going to show him that he is indeed righteous and he will not do that. And notice what happens here in verse 24. He says, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is yes, the judge of all the earth will do right. God is a righteous judge. There are those who would say that God judging at all is not right. But the scripture very clearly says that God is justified in bringing his judgment on a society that refuses to repent. And so this is a question that all of us need to also understand. Would God of all creation and all the earth do right? Yes, he would do right. And the entire premise here is that God is a just God, that God is a righteous God. Now, it's interesting. I don't know the timing of the rapture. The Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord is going to take the righteous off the earth before he pours out his wrath on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that God will not deal with America in some form and fashion before the rapture takes place. I can't say that. We don't know. I know that eventually America will be dealt with if we don't repent, because God is not going to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah one way and America differently. He's not going to do that. He's a just God. He deals with all nations the same. But what his timing is, I don't know what his timing is or how any of that could work as far as the rapture and all that. But I do know that the Bible says that before God pours out his wrath on the world, he's going to take the believers out of here. We'll see that more in detail on Wednesday night. Those of you that are coming Wednesday night, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are at the rapture passage. So we're going to take the whole night to talk about the difference in the rapture and the second coming, the scriptural differences, and all that God has to say to us on that particular subject. What's interesting here to me about this is that God has set a precedent throughout the scriptures when it comes to removing the righteous before he pours out wrath. Now, the church and others have experienced persecution throughout history, but there's a difference in earthly and satanic persecution and the wrath of God. And every time God has poured out his wrath, he has removed the righteous. We saw it in the flood of Noah. What did he do? First, he removed the righteous. Remember, he brought them in the ark, and then he brought judgment on the earth. Here in Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to see that he goes down and yanks out the righteous before he brings judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Revelation, we're going to see that God, the Bible tells us, God is going to remove the righteous and spare them from this time of judgment during the final outpouring of God's wrath. In Revelation 3:10, it says this, the Lord speaking to the righteous on the earth during this time, the end days, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. Note that. To test those who dwell on the earth. He's saying the entire world's going to come under this testing in the last days. But if you're faithful to me and you're righteous, I will remove you first. And so we see the precedent set in Scripture of God removing the righteous before he brings his judgment and his wrath. But what's interesting here to me, I believe God even gives us a veiled picture in this passage of the rapture of the church. Why? Because in 1 Thessalonians, it says the Lord descends with the shout of an angel, the archangel, and he snatches away or pulls out the righteous. It's interesting. The Bible here, we're going to see the Lord himself came down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And who was his voice? He sent angels into Sodom and Gomorrah with the voice of an angel. He gave them warning, and they grabbed Lot and his family and literally yanked them out of the city. And the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible says that he harpazoed them. He grabbed them. It means he grabbed them and pulled them out. It's a picture of being grabbed and yanked out before judgment comes. That's exactly what God is going to do with Lot and his family down in Sodom. And so we see, I believe, a beautiful picture here in Scripture of the rapture taking place right here in this particular passage. He says, Lord, far be it from me. You got to love Abraham here. Now, again, if any of you have ever been to Israel and ever tried to buy anything, you see that they are truly descendants of Abraham. Abraham, he's the one that, you know, started haggling. You know, he's the one, I hate that. I'm one of those, just what's the price? How much does it cost? And Abraham is here doing this. Lord, if it was this, Lord, if it's that. He's got this whole thing, this negotiating thing going back and forth with the Lord. They still do that today. You go in a shop and try to buy something. You're like, you know, this whole negotiating. Now, the Jews don't do it as much. They're pretty much down now to the point to where you've got a price or whatever. But the Arabs, again, they're also descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. Man, do they haggle. I mean, you got to haggle forever. And they're so funny. I mean, you go in there and try to buy something. I remember one time Tracy was trying to buy, you know, something from him, and they tried to talk her into something else. Like, I want this. Well, what's wrong with this one? Well, nothing. I like that one. Well, let me show you this one. Come over. And they'll pull you over there. Look at this one. I want that one. No, come over here. They're like, just give me the thing, okay? Just what's going on? And so we kind of see that spirit here, you know, in Abraham. He's kind of negotiating his way down with the Lord here and saying, you know, Lord, notice this. He says, you know, hey, you wouldn't do this, would you? And the Lord said, in verse 26, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Wow. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed, who am I but dust and ashes? I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. But suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Now notice his attitude toward the Lord. There's a couple things to point out here. Notice this. When God is about to go down and judge Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham doesn't cheer him on, does he? Get them, Lord. They deserve it. It's wrong, and it needs to be, do it, God. Now, again, it doesn't mean that Abraham goes along or likes the unrighteousness. But notice Abraham's heart. Guys, this is the heart we need to have when it comes to those that are living in Sodom today. Lord, have mercy on them. If there's but 5, Lord. If there's but, you know, just 10, Lord. If there's even 20, Lord, if there's any that will come out, Lord, have mercy on. Lord says, if I find any there that are righteous, if I find any there that will repent, I will have mercy on them. And guys, that's the heart we have to have. Listen, when it comes to dealing with any sin, now, the particular sin we're looking at today is homosexuality, but it could be anything. It could be murderers or thieves or liars. Why is it sometimes some people are in jail for theft and we think, you know, well, I could forgive them, but a murderer would be harder. There have been some notorious murderers that have repented, and I believe are going to be in the kingdom of God because they've repented and turned to the Lord. I think of the son of Sam. You know, this guy Berkowitz, he's repented. And I believe it's real. He's leading people to Christ in prison. He's doing Bible studies, and he's not doing it as one of those, I'm godly now, let me out. He said, no, I don't deserve to get out. He said, I need to spend the rest of my life in here because I have done something horrible in society. But I'm going to take what I have left, and I'm going to lead as many as I can out of sin and into the kingdom because that's what God did for me. You see, God loves the unrighteous. God loves the sinner. The only difference between the unrighteous and a sinner is a prayer. That's the only difference between those of us in here that know the Lord and those that don't is some of us have said, God, forgive me, and we've repented. God says, I love them. And Abraham is like, Lord, I know they're doing all this. I know it's wicked. I know it's ugly. I know they're proud about it. I know it stinks literally to heaven, high heaven, because it came before your throne. Lord, if there be any righteous there, would you have, you know, would you spare them, Lord? Yes, Abraham, I will. And so note this. Number one, we need to have a heart that will intercede for those that are trapped in Sodom today. And we also need to realize that God has a heart for them as well. And so Abraham is learning this, and Abraham is finding this out, and Abraham again is crying out to the Lord and saying, God, you know, have mercy on them, Lord. And so, and again, notice his humility there. He says, I'm but dust and ashes. You know, this is a man that God says is the friend of God, one of the greatest heroes of Bible history. And yet, how does he regard himself before God? And that is, he regards himself as dust and ashes. Not only is he interceding for Sodom, not only is he interceding for those trapped in that sinful lifestyle, he's humbling himself and saying, he's not coming to the Lord and saying, I'm glad I'm righteous. Lord, look at them and okay, save them, Lord, but I'm glad I'm righteous. Lord, I'm but dust and ashes. And were it not for your grace, I would be also lost eternally. And because I know that I'm only dust and ashes, and I'm going to be lost eternally, Lord, and you spared me, then God, have mercy on them and spare them. Lee Ellie said something cute to me the other day. I didn't ask her if I could say this, but I don't think she'd care. I usually ask it before I do, but it just popped in my mind. She said, Dad, that's all I am is dust and ashes. That's kind of sad. Because we were talking about, what happens to all that dust you breathe in? What happens to it? I said, well, it's okay. It's just dust and ashes. And that's what you're made of, so it won't hurt you. You're dust and ashes, the Bible says. Well, Dad, that's kind of sad. I said, it's only sad until you realize that you have a new body, an eternal body that'll be glorious in the kingdom. I said, you're not dust and ashes forever, but we need to remember that we are dust and ashes before the Lord in humility. And so it's this humble heart of praying for those that are trapped in Sodom and saying, God, have mercy on them. And God saying, you know what? If they respond, I will have mercy on them and I will show them my compassion. And then he spoke to him again, verse 29, and said, you know, suppose there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not go, or I will not do it for the sake of 40. And he said, well, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he said, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. Listen to the compassion in the Lord's heart. And then he said, indeed, now I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. He said, let not the Lord be angry. And I'll speak but once more. But how many, you know, how far can I take this, Lord? Let the Lord be angry. I'll speak one more time. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now, I don't know why he stopped at 10. Maybe he thought, surely there's 10. I mean, Lot and his wife are there. He's got two daughters that are still living with him. There's four. We know that he had sons-in-law. It says sons, plural. So, you know, even at that, he would have had what? Another eight or whatever? Or he would have, maybe he had three sons-in-law. And that would mean he had three other daughters. Maybe there was 10 in Lot's family. We don't know. But it's interesting to see that he comes to the point of 10 and says, Lord, will it be 10? And the Lord says, you know what? Even for the sake of 10. And certainly it wasn't that Abraham only just cared about his family. But again, the bottom line is that Abraham wanted to make sure that his family was at least in the number. How many of us don't have that heart? Lord, is our family in the number? And again, notice Abraham's heart crying out for his family, even though knowing his family was living in the midst of Sodom. He says, God, have mercy on them. And some of you may have family living in the midst of Sodom, maybe being a part of Sodom, in a very literal way, but maybe just kind of not thinking that it's any big deal. Just kind of going along with Sodom. You know, what's the big deal? So they like to do that. It's not hurting us. Leave them alone. And they're living in the midst of Sodom. You see, right? Lot wasn't a Sodomite. He wasn't involved in that activity, but Lot was living in the midst of it. And we have to, you know, we may have family members that are living right around and saying, you know what, I don't do that. But, you know, if that's okay for you, then that's okay. No big deal. Let's not make a big stink about it. Let's not make a problem. Let them do their own thing. Just don't let it affect me. What they don't realize is that it affects them eternally. And so Abraham is saying, you know what, God, spare them. Spare my family. And in sparing my family, you can spare those around them. And again, just the power of a few righteous in one city. God says, you know, if there's only 10 there, even just 10, I'll do it. What's sad is ultimately only 3 came out. Well, 4, including Lot's wife, but she couldn't quite let go. We'll get to her later. And because she couldn't quite let go, oh, it doesn't say she was involved in Sodom. It doesn't say that she was involved in that lifestyle. She just loved all the benefits of that culture. She loved the fact that they had the fullness of food and the abundance and all the, you know, why make a big, hey, the economy's good. Let's not stir the boat here or stir the water. You can't stir the boat. Stir the boat in the water. So the economy's good. Why should we make, you know, a big deal of this? Let people do what they want. You know, that's not really what matters. It's that our economy's good. That's what matters. And God says, I'll judge you for that economy one day. And I'll judge you in your sin if you don't repent. But when I do it, it will be righteous. It will be with a broken heart, but it will be righteous judgment. And so he says, I'm going to do this. And again, God says, you know, it's not that he wants to bring judgment. As the Bible says, God desires that none perish. But if he must, he will. So the Lord went his way, verse 33, as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And I'll bet Abraham went by thinking, you know what? I think they'll make it. I think they'll make it. Come on, it's got to be 10 down there. I know my family's down there, and you know, Lot's right, is righteous, so I think they'll make it. How shocking it must have been the next day when he woke up and saw the smoke coming up from the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. It must have been a shock to him. And yet Abraham did everything he could. He interceded with the Lord. He cried out to them, and he tried to see that they'd be rescued. Listen, I encourage you guys, pray for a heart for those trapped in sodomy today. Pray for a heart for them. I lost one of my best friends to that and AIDS. And it becomes really real when someone you love very much is taken in the judgment of their own sin. We need to have a broken heart. We need to have a heart that doesn't point and say, that's what you get. We need to have a heart that says, God, have mercy on them. God, show them your grace and your mercy. Now, again, there'll be many that will not come out, but there'll be some that will. And we need to have a heart, number one, a heart that would pray for them. And I want to pray that God would give us a heart for that. But the question that we need to ask ourselves today before we leave, have you come to Jesus that you might be rescued from the judgment of God? You see, it's not just sodomy that God judges. It's fornication. That is relations, physical relations, sex outside of marriage. It's lying. It's stealing. It's cheating. It's anything we've ever done like this in our life that the Bible says is sin before God. The Bible says we are eternally separated from God if we don't repent and ask God's forgiveness. It's not that God wants to judge, but God is righteous and he has no choice but to finally bring that judgment at some point. The question is, where are you before God today? If the Lord were to come back right now and have you stand before his throne, if suddenly you were in an accident or you dropped dead of a heart attack and you're standing before the Lord, would you be counted as righteous before him? Oh yeah, I'm pretty nice. I do nice things. I didn't say that. Forget the good things. The Bible says our good works are filthy rags before his throne. He's not impressed by them. Here's the only thing that impresses the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ claimed as your own, cleansing you from sin. Nothing else impresses him. And the Bible says we have to confess our sin. We have to ask his forgiveness and receive him as our Lord and our Savior. And if we do that, we will not face the judgment of God. And that's what I want to pray. If you've not done that, that you'll receive him right now as your Lord and your Savior, because he loves you and he wants you to be in the kingdom forever. But also I want to pray that we would have a heart for those who have not done that, no matter what their sin is, that they might be reached for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I do pray, first of all, that you would give us a heart as believers in here today. Lord, give us a heart for those trapped in Sodom. Lord, not to sit there and point the finger and say, that's what they get, that's what they deserve. Lord, we, with our own sin, would have brought judgment on our own head had we not repented, had we not turned, had we not given our life to you. Give us a heart of compassion that would intercede with you, Lord, for those that are lost, for those that need to be cleansed of their sin, that they might be righteous before your throne and enter into the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would give us that heart that would pray for them, whatever the sin might be, that we would lift them up to you, Lord, and ask for your mercy on them, that you might touch them, God, and bring them to their senses. And Father, I pray that if there's any here that right now may not be involved in that particular sin, who knows, they might, but they may not be involved in that particular sin. Lord, it could be any number of sins, Lord, lying, cheating, stealing, fornication, Lord, whatever the case might be, pornography, Lord, you name it, go down the list, whatever the sin might be that's going on. And Lord, they have never had your righteousness and blood wash their sin away. God, I pray that right now that you would begin to convict them. And God, I know that your Spirit's working right now, that they indeed have this sin issue before you. And one day they will stand before a just God who must bring righteous judgment. God, I pray that right now they would begin to confess their sin before you, that they would repent of their sin, that is, turn from it, that they would receive your sacrifice in their place, your blood in place of their sin, and that they might be cleansed, Lord, and be received in the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are a God of mercy and you are a God of love and you are a God of grace. And Lord, we thank you that you extend that. Help us to receive it and help us to have compassion on those who have not yet received it, like Abraham. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.